Companies are using text messaging in order to reach kids. I mean, if your child has a cell phone and that cell phone has internet access, then your kid's being marketed to, you know, in ways that you don't even know. So we have to stop thinking of marketing to children as just commercials. I mean, commercials are just so 20th century.
Introducing Nicktropolis, a huge new world just waiting to be explored by you.
With more than 40 million kids online daily and growing, perhaps no tool has become more important to marketers than the internet. And advertisers are making sure to hit kids where they gather, where tens of millions of elementary age kids are coming together to chat, play games, and watch videos, all while being immersed in the brand.
Welcome to Webkinz.
At Webkinz, for example, millions of kids a day chat with each other, explore, and shop in a virtual world, a world open only to those who go to a designated store and buy a $15 stuffed animal imprinted with a secret code that allows kids to join and enter the Webkinz world, where they are encouraged to shop some more. One of the reasons marketers covet these sites is because of their proven ability to gather personal information from kids.
The internet allows people to be micro-targeted. If you have the person's birthday, you could say, "Happy birthday, Billy. Have you seen the new Power Ranger watch?" It's very personal.
If you set up 5 different accounts from 5 different geographic areas on different genders, on different ages, with different preferences, you will see 5 different ads. You will see 5 different worlds. Now, as a child, you don't know that. As a child, you're competing with MBAs. You're competing with some of the smartest people out there.
In the face of these developments, many critics of youth marketing have called on schools to develop media literacy curricula to help kids navigate commercial culture. The results have sometimes been less than encouraging.
Now a word from our sponsor. That's how some schools are making extra money, literally selling themselves to advertisers.
Everything from the band shell.
That will be $125,000.
To the lecture hall.
$150,000.
Can be named for a price at New Berlin schools.
There's advertising on school walls, on school buses, in gymnasiums. There's donated scoreboards that have the Coca-Cola or the Pepsi logo on them.
There are so many ways that commercialism has intruded into our classrooms. There's Coke and Pepsi and Cadbury Schweppes in the schools, which are helping to generate an epidemic of childhood obesity among our kids across the country. There's school book covers. There are sponsored educational materials. There's a company called Field Trip Factory, which takes kids to places like Petco and to Sports Authority and calls that education.
The Chicago kindergartners are on a school field trip, but the animals they're going to see aren't in the zoo.
We want to welcome you to Petco.
Across the country, a growing number of schools are taking America's classrooms to America's malls.
And there's a new company called Bust Radio, which is trying to compel a million kids to listen to 8 minutes of advertisements per hour as they ride the school bus.
Bust Radio.
BustRadio.com. We'll choose a name at random, and if you're the winner, we'll give a pair of tickets to your bus driver, too. You guys can hang out together, maybe share a large Coke. Email us as soon as you get home.
There's Channel One, which compels about 7 million children to watch ads in schools each school day.
Today on Channel One.
The purpose of schools, in part, is to promote reason. And the purpose of advertising is to subvert reason, to promote the sale of a product. And for that reason alone, advertising has no proper place in the schools.
How often does a company realize that they're going to get a captive audience where people literally have to watch their message? The effort to create junior consumers no longer stops at the school door. It is now following kids into school.
But if it's been following kids into schools, it's also been coming out of our schools in the form of advanced academic research, producing a new class of child marketing experts armed with some of the most formidable scientific tools.
Psychologists and anthropologists and sociologists and behavioral scientists are used by marketers to really shape and cement children's brand preferences. They want to be part of the fabric of children's lives.
12 years ago, there were no youth conferences where you looked at more effective ways to market to kids. Now, there are probably 15 a year different conferences on tweens, teenagers, the Latino community, how to reach youth with your product, your program, your packages, your characters, your advertising campaign, how to reach them more effectively, how to get more of their dollars, which is marketing, and you can't blame people for that. But is it balanced with more conversations, more discussions of what's good for kids, how can we move our society forward in a healthier way? No.
Child psychologists and other psychologists are now absolutely integrated within the marketing field, and their techniques are so widespread that, in fact, it's probably pretty hard to come up with parts of the marketing effort that don't have anything to do with psychology.
You're a psychologist, you do research, you know the difference between a three-year-old and a five-year-old, and you know how to reach a three-year-old, and you know that you have to play the ad much more slowly and use round figures instead of angles, because children like round figures at that age. And you know that five-year-olds have a whole different set of concerns, so we can fine-tune the marketing to communicate better with children.
One means of fine-tuning is the tried-and-true method of the focus group.
It's quiet, it's controlled, there's usually a one-way mirror, so we can see behavioral cues. It's how they look, it's the look in their eyes, especially with kids who don't have that sense yet of self-monitoring. You know, all their actions are very descriptive, and once we take what they say and then feed that in with how they look when they say it and their behavioral cues, we really end up with a strong measurement of how product affects them.
Still another means is ethnographic research, which, tuned to the goals of marketers, has become a kind of scientific stalking.
They go into supermarkets with them and film exactly how they look at a product, pick it up, put it back down, the way they move around a supermarket. They film them on the playground. They film them in school. They film them eating breakfast. They film them going into their closet and deciding what to wear.
What are the things that you need that aren't in here?
I need a lot of...
They film them talking to their friends. They organize little friendship circles and film what they're doing. They even follow them into the bathroom. I interviewed a number of people who sat and watched children take baths and showers, watched how they interact with shampoo and soap and health and beauty products, as that category is called, in order to go back and write a report for their clients on, you know, what to do with the packaging. It's creepy. It's just absolutely creepy, the way children are being dissected and put under the microscope by marketers.
This is new consumer science, and it's yielding a new science of childhood. And perhaps nowhere else have the different elements of this science merged so seamlessly as in the Girls Intelligence Agency.
Not the CIA, it's the Girls Intelligence Agency, which, for all the cloak and dagger, is actually a marketing firm.
The Girls Intelligence Agency claims to have tens, if not hundreds of thousands of girls across the country that it is in contact with and working with. The signature product of the GIA is something called the Slumber Party in a Box.
Guys, sacred opening of the case.
Kids are asked to sort of push a certain product, or they're more like focus group parties where kids are asked to come and give their opinions on products.
What is the hottest item? The sleep mask, the fuzzy phone, or the beauty kits?
Fuzzy phone.
They ask them to be sly. They ask them to get information on their friends without their friends knowing about it. It's teaching children to exploit their friends for the purpose of getting money or free products.
What happened at your home the other day, marketing, or was it a party?
It's kind of both. It was a party for us, but it was marketing for the companies.
And is that cool with you?
Definitely.
One of the more problematic aspects of its behavior is that it will enlist young children in its marketing efforts without their parents knowing about it.
There's a lot that's happening around us, and the public is not aware, just like they're not aware of neuromarketing. And that's another whole scary thing, to put a child in an MRI and then watch what is lighting up inside his brain based on the stimulus, and then saying, wow, this works, this is good, look what happens.